iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. From news and views to wellness, entertainment, money matters, and much, much more. On air at iGlobalNews.com.
iGlobalNews.com.
iGlobal Radio, brought to you by iGlobalNews.com.
Hello and welcome to the iSpirituality Show right here on iGlobal Radio. My name's Tony Patty. Today I'm joined by Professor Nawal Prinja, who I'm sure you've heard of before and heard from before in our previous series. In our new series today, we now introduce a brand new contributor all the way from India, Dr. Meena Mahajan, who joins us today. And today's series kicks off with East and West and how they meet and how we're going to take this forward. East meets West. Now, people say East is East and West is West, and the difference between them is starting to turn up even more brain scanners. In fact, new brain research is adding such high-tech evidence to lower-tech psychology. Experiments have actually found for years that culture can actually not just affect things and the way we deal with things, not just language and custom, but how people experience the world at stunningly basic levels. What they see, what they look at, or even how they perceive a simple line in a square. Western culture, they found conditions that people to think of themselves as highly independent entities. And when looking at scenes, Westerners tend to focus on central objects more than on their surroundings. In contrast, Eastern Asian cultures stress independence. And when Easterners take in a scene, they tend to focus more on the context as well as the object itself. So as we look at it and focus on this in our own special way, where East meets West in the special series that we have, understanding cultural differences in the mind is really important as the world globalizes. And with that, I'm going to welcome on the program today a very esteemed and wonderful contributor, Dr. Meena Mahajan, who joins us today. Meenaji, a very warm welcome to you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Tony. Thanks.
So in my introduction, I outline the differences between East meets West in a very brief form. You have an opinion on it yourself, and we have or we haven't evolved over the years, culturally or scientifically or anyway or any other way. As a leading scholar in your field, what do you have to offer to us?
Firstly, Tony, thank you so much. And this is my favorite topic, so I really want to talk so much about it. But yeah, of course. So having traveled the world and, you know, interacted with all kinds of individuals, scholars, intellectual people, educated people, not so educated people, I think what I've really gathered is that the word spirituality has taken a very different meaning. And it's kind of even losing its meaning because people don't know how to relate it to their daily life. So anything which an individual cannot relate to their daily life, their daily activities, their daily thought processes, their relationships, their money, their job, their health, they somewhere don't want to follow it because it's kind of complicated.
This is the iSpirituality Show from iGlobal. Find out more about the iSpirituality Show and other big events by logging on to the iGlobal event section on iGlobalNews.com. It is long overdue, and I'm absolutely excited about talking with you about this and hearing from you about this. And we have three essential items in our series that we're going to be kicking off with, and that is knowledge, COVID and spirituality, and also prana as well, psychology and physiology of yoga as well. At which point, I'd like to now welcome our dear friend and astute Professor Nawal Prinja, who would like to offer a very warm welcome to you. Thank you, sir. Hello. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Tony, and I'm really so happy and pleased that we have a scholar, a leader like Dr. Meena Mahajan with us, and I totally agree with her. But as a scientist, Tony, I have a passion for philosophy and the truth. And I do agree with you that cultures tend to change the behavior, as you were mentioning earlier on about how people in the West behave differently from those in the East. But please remember, philosophy not only shapes an individual, it shapes a society and the nation and the culture. So if you really want an answer, you really need to dig deep into what was the philosophy that has created such a society. So when I look for India, particularly East, there are six schools of philosophy. Sadly, nobody knows. And this is where, Tony, I have this big issue. How people in the West perceive East. There is so much of deep knowledge out there, but either people do not know, and sadly, those who know cannot convey. And that's why I'm so delighted that we have a scholar and expert like Dr. Meena Mahajan with us. And I'll just quote one very quick example. Out of these six schools of philosophy, one of them is this Vaishishika Sutra written by Maharishi Kanada, also known as Maharishi Kashyap. And in his fifth chapter, and you can Google it, by the way, I'm not making it up. In very simple Sanskrit, he says, Prayatna visheshat nodana visheshyaha, meaning a specific effort, there is a specific reaction. So every action, there is equal and opposite reaction. And he said this 2,200 years before Newton said it and is known as Newton's third law. This is the kind of information that has been lost. And I always wondered why. So I am starting this podcast series by putting Meenaji this very question as to, and I will invite the listeners to listen to our podcast series. We have had wonderful time discussing these very exciting questions and answers.
This is the iSpirituality Show from iGlobal. Find out more about the iSpirituality Show and other big events by logging on to the iGlobal event section on iglobalnews.com.
Meenaji, it's really a pleasure talking to you. You are a world-renowned spiritual and transformational life coach. But I have a question for you that has puzzled me. We did a very popular podcast series on science and spirituality, where we covered topics that showed that modern scientific discoveries have not contradicted the teachings of ancient Indian philosophy. So a very first and obvious question is, if the modern scientific discoveries have not contradicted the teachings of ancient Indian philosophy, then how come modern discoveries have not been made in India and they're only made in the West? What has happened to the knowledge in India?
Firstly, thank you so much, Navalji, and it's a pleasure and an honor to be with you on this podcast. I think the question makes a lot of sense here, and I've myself been wondering, with my roots embedded in the East, I have almost wondered this for many, many years now. And I think the key reason for this could be the knowledge gap that we see. And mostly this knowledge gap, you see, the knowledge is always there. It's always existing. It's always alive. But I think the problem has been that there has not been the right language to communicate this knowledge. And because, fortunately, unfortunately, most of the knowledge is in Sanskrit, and it's embedded as ancient Vedas and Upanishads, and everything is actually in a language that probably the modern man does not understand, the West does not understand. They have not been translated appropriately. So maybe that's one of the reasons why we see that while the knowledge is alive, still alive in the East, but we are not able to really use it. And here I would just like to mention that, whatever ancient scriptures and ancient India has been talking about for years, it is somewhere being reinvented by science. I mean, look at it like that Acharya Kanad spoke about Anu, which is the atom, about 2,500 years back. the Surya Siddhanta dated 400 AD, where Bhaskaracharya ji stated that an object falls on the earth due to attraction, some attraction. And then it was just later that we got to know about the law of gravity. Acharya Charak has mentioned about medicine. Sushruta has mentioned about surgery. So we've always had this, but I think that the language has been a major barrier here.
No, I agree with you. Language plays a very important role to carry the knowledge. So basically what you're saying is it is the loss of Sanskrit, because in India, scientists do not know Sanskrit. And those who know Sanskrit do not know the sciences. And this gap has been created by, I think, the modern Indian education system. Thank you for mentioning Maharishi Kanad, you know, one of the Saptarishis. He's also, I think, known as Maharishi Kashyap.
And that's right.
The other day, for the South Asia Gallery we are doing at Manchester Museum, we were making the same point and they wanted a proof. So let me, for benefit of the listeners, just repeat, because there's no point making big statements, but here is a proof. You know, this is the fifth chapter of the Vaisheshika Sutra written by Maharishi Kanad. And I will just read one line. And those who know Hindi, Gujarati, they will understand. Sanyog abhave gurutvat patanam. Sanyog meaning absence of contact. Like koi yog, there is no contact with external forces. Abhave means lack of it. Yeah. So what happens? Gurutvat, mass, or in modern language, gravity, patnam, makes it fall. This was, believe me, you're not almost 2,200 years before Newton discovered gravity.
Yeah. But absolutely.
It is lost. It is lost because of the language. That's that. And I will blame it on the modern Indian education system. So what do you think needs to happen? What change?
Absolutely. I think you're bang on, because what you did for us right now was that you translated a sutra. You translated something which was written by a great scholar years back. You know, centuries back. So that's what we need to do. Now, probably, I think the big change can come when educated intellectuals start becoming very vocal about this subject and they endorse it and they start spreading the awareness around them. Because you see, the youth kind of is not aware. I don't blame the youth, because when they don't have a language, when they don't have a simple language that fits into their life, it kind of becomes difficult. Mm. So I think the big breakthrough can happen when educated people like you and me, we start doing our bit, translating the main sutras in the English language, and also encourage people back in the East and the West, why not, to learn Sanskrit. Because I feel that Sanskrit language is so beautiful, and I think it should be made like in schools back in India. I mean, we do study Sanskrit till about grade 7, but then it becomes optional. And the first thing children do is to drop Sanskrit. So if we can actually promote the language, and thank God that Nalanda University opens now after so many years, that people are now going to get an exposure and people will now come to do their PhDs and their studies ahead, and they will really know that Sanskrit is such a treasure, and everything probably, is back here, and sure, we are sitting on a treasure, but I think the translation needs to happen in a simpler language.
Okay. In addition to the language, don't you think, Meenaji, that, you know, these books generally will be put in a category of religion. The moment you say Shastra, Sutra, you know, it will not be put in a category of science. So there is this attitude in Indian mind towards knowledge. You know, oh, this is everyday knowledge. This is physical. Oh, this is higher knowledge. This is, and these books are lifted up into the religious and spiritual zone, and the scientists just don't touch it. So don't you think this attitude has actually one of the reasons why the knowledge has been lost, because they have been put in a different category? Higher and
absolutely knowledge. And I think the attitude comes from the lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
So coming to the same point and repeating what I said earlier, that if intellectual people, educated individuals, can start classifying knowledge as lower and higher knowledge, aparavidya and paravidya, and also start telling and start endorsing the fact that we live in a universe, and the universe, which we call as the Brahmand in our side. So there's an East and there's a West. And when I have kind of studied the Eastern and the Western philosophies, I have seen that the West has always focused on the physical aspect, which is the more gross aspect. And the East has usually spoken more about the subtle aspect, which is the consciousness. And today, quantum mechanics is wanting to say that both exist, but in a certain ratio. So obviously, the East needs to meet the West here. But having said that, when we speak of knowledge, the aparavidya is more like the material knowledge. It is the lower knowledge, which is the formal education. It is something which opens your mind. It opens your intellect. You want to know more. It involves your senses. It involves the material world. And this is where you get guidance and you are told to attain the higher knowledge, which is you have a guru, you have your spiritual teachers, and then they tell you that, you know what, this is it. Now, this is how much you have to engage in the material world. And now you have to go to the higher knowledge, which is where they engage us in the paravidya, which is to do more with the Atman, the Brahman. Mm. It's like a journey from Dvaita to the Advaita, you know, where you realize that in Dvaita, you feel separate. And in Advaita, there is a union. Absolutely. You know, so that's the life cycle of every individual. But I think because of the lack of knowing, the attitude shows that, you know what, I don't want to engage in anything higher. I think I'm good the way I am.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. In fact, you know, in Indian philosophy enunciated in Isha Upanishad, which is the second smallest Upanishad, teaches us precisely this, to reconcile the two opposites, life on earth and life beyond the earth. You know, what you mentioned, paravidya and apar, manifest and unmanifest. Contemplative life and active life, both together. You know, I mean, these are beautifully represented in a symbol of the sitting pose of Lord Ganesha, where one leg is folded in contemplation and the other leg is firmly on the ground, you know, for practical life. But what is the secret, Meenaji, tell us, of balancing this act? You know, where you balance the practicalities of life with the spiritual aspect of life.
I think you've given such a beautiful example of the sitting pose of Lord Ganesha, which actually is symbolic of what life should actually be. So the secret of success, because we all want to be successful people, we want to be happy, we want to be joyful, and why not? But the secret of success lies in the balance. It does not mean that we need to endorse only a particular life. Because when we say spirituality, Navalji, I think there's a lot of confusion. People think spirituality is about renouncing something. It's about renunciation of materialism. I say it is about embracing everything that comes your way, but learning to balance the two. So you have to balance your lower and upper vidya. You have to balance the right and the left hemisphere of the brain to be healthy. You have to balance the physical and the metaphysical. You have to balance the gross and subtle. You everything is about balance. It's the mind, body, soul balance. Yeah. So when we start to live the balance, and where do we learn this? Mm-hmm. The only way to learn this is through the higher knowledge, through the spiritual processes that are mentioned in our Vedas and Upanishads. And that's where you start understanding why the balance. You know, we've seen the balance everywhere. In fact, you know, whoever is aware of the West talks a lot about the angel cards and angel readings, and you get a, and you, you know, you have these messages from the higher world, which are about balance. You see one foot in water and one on land, just the way you said Ganesha is sitting. So I think everything in the universe is suggesting a balance.
Brilliant. Absolutely. Meenaji, in the next episode, we will talk about how spirituality can help in everyday life. So let me end by quoting Isha Upanishad again, which says, "Into blinding darkness they enter who follow ignorance, and those who delight in knowledge alone enter into even greater darkness." Practicality and knowledge go together. The lower and the higher knowledge, you know, par and apar, they are both needed. It says he overcomes death by physical sciences and attains immortality through spiritual knowledge. Thank you.
Lovely. Thank you so much, Navalji. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. Find out more on iGlobalNews.com.
And that completes this particular episode of East Meets West, called Knowledge, with Dr. Meena Mahajan and Professor Nawal Prinja. We continue our East Meets West series right here on iGlobal Radio. And in our next program, we're going to be looking at COVID and spirituality.
iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. From news and views to wellness, entertainment, money matters, and much, much more. On air at iGlobalNews.com.